Grace to you and peace from the God who made all things and sustains all things. Amen. We're kind of coming to the end of our several bread texts that come to us through the Gospel of John. And toward the end of the sixth chapter, not only are we getting a little tired about hearing of the bread of heaven, but apparently so are the disciples. A remarkable thing happens in this text. Jesus says, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them." This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not like the bread you used to get, not like the manna. This is a different kind of bread. And the one who eats this bread will live forever. This follows that text from last week where Jesus said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have no part of me." And it's almost like Jesus, all the way up until this point, had enough. And it says in the text, when many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" And Jesus says, and I don't care for this translation, "Does this offend you?" The word is scandalize. Does this scandalize you? Is this just so hard for you to hear that you find yourself just amazed by it? Amazed in a bad way? What if you saw me going from one place to the other? This is the Jacob's ladder part. What if you saw me ascending into heaven? Would that offend you? Some of the disciples, it says, left and didn't follow him anymore. Now, it's important to understand, it wasn't the crowd who was around Jesus, the sort of casual hangers-on who left that day. It wasn't just the folks who were curious about this itinerant preacher wandering around Capernaum. It says that many of his disciples, the people who believed in him, the people who followed him, the people who loved him, simply could not accept it anymore. And they left. It's a powerful moment. And one that at least I know I have found myself overlooking most of the time. We develop a sense of Jesus being a little bit like Joel Osteen. Constantly successful, never missing out, always hitting the cues just right. Attracting around him an increasing number of disciples. But it's not what the scripture says. Too often we think of Jesus' message, Jesus' gospel, as being quite palatable and lovely and easy to accept. And I think sometimes we think that because we only pick out the bits that we like, the bits that we can digest easily, the bread that tastes like we want it to taste. But the words that Jesus brings are often difficult and challenging, even scandalous. Jesus says things like, "I am the bread of heaven. I am that which will bring you full and abundant life." Jesus says things like, "Sell all that you have and give it to the poor." Jesus says things like, "Those who love their life will lose it, but those who lose their life for my sake will have eternal life." Scandalous stuff. And sometimes even we are not sure that we want to continue to follow Jesus. But Jesus turns to the 12. Those remnant few who stood around him, And he asked them, "What do you think? Will you leave?" Jesus says, "Do you wish also to go away? Because the food that I give you seems so scandalous?" And Simon Peter responds with what I think is one of the great confessions of the church. It is so unliturgical. It is so untheological, unlike some of the other responses of Peter, which he goes into a long, wonderfully powerful diatribe about why we couldn't go anyplace else, because Jesus is the Son of Man, risen from the dead, Son of God, long stuff. Instead, Peter says something from his heart. "Lord, you have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. We have come to believe and to know." That word "believe," that word pistuo, is a word that implies not just intellectual assent, not just, "Yes, I either believe or I don't believe," but the root in it and the sense of it is about trust. In a way, it might be a better translation to say, "We have come to trust and know that you are the Holy One of God." Trust. In some ways, that's a more powerful word than believe, because believe seems to have with it, "Well, if you just give me enough evidence about it, if you just show me enough Google articles about it, then I will eventually come to believe that you are right." But I always leave open the possibility that something better will come along, something more attractive to believe in. But trust. Trust implies something much deeper. We talk a lot about how we believe in Jesus, we love Jesus, we believe in God and we love God, but how often do we say, "I trust God"? I trust God. How many movies have you seen where someone's dangling off a cliff, and whoever's on top says, "Give me your hand"? And in a way, I feel like that's sort of where the disciples are. I mean, imagine yourself dangling off a cliff and you're hanging on to the rock. You cannot pull yourself up, and someone comes and says to you, "Give me your hand." And in the scenes where that's done best, the look in the eyes of the person hanging off the cliff is absolutely critical. They look at them like, "Can I trust you to haul me up?" Well, what Jesus says to them at the beginning of this text is, "As the Father abides in me, so I abide." I abide. The source of our trust, our pistuo, our belief in God and in Jesus is not a matter of intellectual assent or of having enough facts, but that God has continuously and faithfully abided in and with us. We know that God will not leave us. And so did the disciples. So though many of the disciples apparently walked away from Jesus that day because his words were too hard, the 12 stayed. Where else can we go? There is no other hand to grab in hopes of something different. There is no other way for us than you, because we have come to trust and know that you are the Son of God. What a powerful way to think about what God is up to amidst us these days. That God is powerfully present and fully abiding, not only in your life as an individual, but in the life of all of us. When Joshua gathered the people around Shechem, and folks, some of them wanted to leave God because they no longer trusted this God who led them out through the wilderness. When some of them began to cleave to the gods of the Asherites. It's the same kind of confession that Peter gave. Joshua says to the people, do whatever you want. If you want to follow these gods of those who live in the land where we are, go follow those gods. But for me and my house, we will follow the Lord. Hundreds and hundreds of years later, Peter will say the same thing for the 12 and for us. That no matter what may distract or attract us, no matter how scandalized we may be by this Logos of Jesus, this Word of God, His very being, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. All of those other things that look so attractive, so attractive by comparison, success, wealth, relaxation, just being alone, not being challenged. These are all the things that I hear, by the way. Pastor, don't challenge us too much because we would rather not have that on Sunday morning. I did not come to be challenged. I came to be comforted. You should talk to Jesus sometime. No matter how scandalized we are, no matter how discomfited or discomforted we are, this abiding Jesus for us and sends us out into the world to bring God's love and proclaim God's peace and to change the world. For where else will we go? For God has given us the Word, the Logos of eternal life, and it is Christ. Amen.